If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, this is probably my favorite book. All of the books within the scriptures are favorites, but it seems like whenever that we were first called to preach, that this was a book in Leviticus that God just kind of centered our attention on. It relates so much to our experience of salvation. Many things in it that we didn't understand before, now we kind of see a little bit of what the apostle wrote about it. And we're going to start in the fourth chapter and beginning with the 14th verse. And of course, this is speaking about what happened with Christ after that he ascended unto the Father. And after his disciples were watching him as he went up. And the Bible tells us in the book of Acts that there were two angels, or there were angels that says, "Why are you gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus is going to come back in like manner." And I do believe that with all of my heart, that one day, I want you to know, time will dissipate. Everything will come to a halt. Wars will end. Governments will cease. All eyes will be directed towards the sign of the Son of Man coming in clouds of glory. But now we want to look at what he is doing now and what he does for us. In the 14th verse, we find these words. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." Notice he understands what we go through. "Yet he experienced these things, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And if I correctly read, that includes the 14th through the 16th verses of the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Our text that we want to base, if God directs us and leads us this morning, would be found in the last verse of Scripture. "Let us," all those things that we have read in your hearing, and even the chapters before that, he says, "Let us therefore come boldly." Now, it doesn't say, "Let us come arrogantly," but with that understanding that we have access and we have a right, being in Christ Jesus, being saved by the grace of God, we have access to come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Now, whenever that Christ ascended up unto the Father, he wasn't just stationary. He wasn't just there. He didn't go to Costco's, and he didn't go to Walmart or anything like that. But he serves us even as he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's where he's at today. That's where that his position is today. And we know that from what the scripture teaches us. Whenever that Stephen was stoned, and whenever that he was martyred and when he was killed, the Bible tells us in one place that Stephen, standing as he was dying and as he was being pummeled with stones, said, "I see the heavens open and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the throne of God." So that's where he's at today, at this very moment. And I believe that he's looking down towards each and every one of us today. I think he looks towards us in expectation. He's there for us. There's not going to be an answering machine come on whenever that you pray saying, "Sorry, the Lord's out, but he'll get back to you as soon as he gets back." No, he's there 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And we find that the Bible tells us that whenever that he had purged our sins, whenever that he died for our sins, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. He's sitting next to his Father. This is where that he is at. And we find that he has everything that God is today. He has been given all power. He said over in Matthew chapter 28, before that he commissioned the disciples, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. There is no one today that is more powerful than him. I don't care about what the nations say they have as armament, or what they have as wealth, or what they have as far as their economy is concerned. There is no one upon the earth nor in heaven more powerful than he. He has all authority. God gave him this authority. No one else has this that he has. And we find today that the Bible tells us that as he sits there, it's not so much a matter of he's sitting physically in a seat beside on the right-hand side of his Father. He is doing that, I would imagine. But he shares all of the different things that we know about God. He has all power, as we said. But he is also doing something for us. Do you know what he's doing? He has an officeship of being a mediator. Now, mediator is someone, it's a legal term, but it's also a religious term. And this is what he is doing today. He is our mediator. You might say, preacher, how do you know that? Well, it tells us in the Word of God that he is a mediator. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, it says, there is one God and one mediator between God and man. I want to tell you, today you can't get to God until you come through the mediator. Until you come through Christ Jesus. And a mediator is one that kind of resolves the conflict that is between two parties that are at odds with one another. We find that he has reconciled us unto God. When you look at the cross, well, it's not up here, but anyway, when you look at the cross and you see where that his hands were pierced, where that he was hung upon the cross, right in the center of that cross, in a sense, is where that he brought God and he brought sinful man together. And he resolved the differences that was between them. We were at enmity with God. We were enemies of God, with God at one time. It was because of the sin nature that passed upon each and every one of us. The Bible says, all of sin comes short of the glory of God. I don't care what ecclesiastical office an individual might hold to say that he has no sin. I want to tell you, there was only one sinless individual in this world that walked upon Mother Earth, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're sinners. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by choice. And Christ Jesus resolved that. He brought us in proximity to God. But once again, it is through and only with him. He's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. I've got a high priest today. What about you? Do you have a high priest? You might say, well, I'm not Jewish. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a great high priest that is above those that were of the tribe of Levi that made the sacrifices. He made the sacrifice of himself. He offered himself upon the cross. And not only is he mediator today, but the Bible tells us that he is an intercessor between God and between us. Do you know before that you were ever born, And you read over in the 16th and 17th chapters of the book of John, before that you were ever born, Christ was praying for you. Christ was praying for you. He was praying for his disciples. He was praying for those that would nail him to the cross. But he had you in mind today. I want to tell you, and he knew what he would have to go through. And he knew that what he would have to taste, that bitter cup that you and I will never know anything about today. But he tasted of that by the grace of God. And today, my friend, he was praying for you. You are on his mind. You mean he just thought of me as part of the human race? No, individual. He knew that Paul Kofor would need a Savior. He knew that everyone that is seated here would one day need a Savior. And he prayed for you. And he prayed that you would be blessed, even though that you were not there to see what he did in redeeming us. You have been, if you've been saved, my friend, you are a benefactor of what he did upon the cross of Calvary. And he still makes intercession. He didn't just do it once and sit down and say, well, okay, you know, I'm through with that. No, he continually makes intercession unto God on our behalf. Those prayers that he prayed when he was with his disciples in the upper room, the prayers that he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, the prayer that he prayed to ask God to forgive those who were crucifying him, they're still in effect today. And they still, my friend, have their effect upon us, because if he was not interceding for us, we would receive the judgment of God and the wrath of God poured upon us. Not only is he that, but he's an advocate. You know, I love to watch television shows about the law. I don't understand our legal system all that well. You know, anybody could over my head, but I am fascinated with the fact that there are those that will be assigned to be an advocate on behalf of someone who's in that courtroom. I'm really fascinated with that, how that they have that position. And you know, he is our advocate in the courtroom of God. He is our advocate today. And the very fact that there's going to be a tendency even after that we sin, we may sin again. But my friend, we have an advocate with the Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And he pleads our case before the Father. And you know, I sometimes look at the condition of the world. I was pretty upset whenever that I heard the news about what's going on over in Israel. And my wife had to turn on Josh Turner and listen to some of the gospel songs. And I pretty well got a little bit calmed down. But you know, he is our advocate. He is our high priest. He is our intercessor. He is our mediator. And he's given unto us today that ministry, if you would want to call it that, of intercession and also prayer. Now, it's not so much that we go around saving people and we intercede for them. The way that it happens is God has saved us for a purpose. We're not saved just to keep us out of hell. That's very important. But I want you to know, he saves us for a purpose. And if we have experienced grace and mercy and love at the hands of God through Christ Jesus today, he will give unto us, if we'll listen to his voice and harden not our hearts, he'll give unto us that ministry of intercession. And I say ministry of intercession. Everybody can pray for somebody today, is what it boils down to. There are people today that even unbeknownst to us need someone to pray for them. And I want you to know at some time throughout this world, somebody has prayed for another individual. Now, we pray for salvation. Whenever that we realize that we're lost and that we're undone and that we are without God and without hope in the world, we ask God to save us. You know, we pray. And someone debated me one time about God not hearing the prayer of a sinner. If God doesn't hear the prayer of a sinner, we're all in trouble today. But He will. Because it says in the Bible, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You realize that you're lost. You realize down deep in your heart you're not right with God. And that you don't have that assurance of salvation. You don't have that assurance that you have a home in heaven. I want you to know when that gets down into your heart and into your soul, God has never turned a sinner away that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ and comes through His blood and comes through Him at all. So we pray for salvation and God will save. He doesn't turn them away. So at any rate, we ask God to save us. But then again, we ask God to heal us. I believe in divine healing, don't you? I believe there are times whenever God, who created man out of the dust of the earth, He can intervene at any time. And He can heal. I had a mentor of mine whenever that I was a kid. He got down to where that he was in a bad state. And he did something I'd never seen before. In fact, I don't find it to be something just too far out of what the church would do. But he was in pretty bad shape. He was kind of on his last leg. And he asked for the deacons and he asked for the elders of the church and everyone basically to come and anoint him with oil and to pray for him. And he was given, not because of who he was, what we did, but because our faith was in God, who does all things well. God heard his prayer and extended his days. I don't often tell this on a personal note, but I was diagnosed with something on my lungs. It's been several years ago. And I do remember that the pulmonologist was really quite concerned, and he could not figure out what it was. So he did some tests. He even did a bronchoscopy where that he went in and took a sample out of the lungs, this area, and you know, he sent it off to be examined and to determine what was going on. And I do remember that somebody in the church where that we were at made this request. They said, have Brother Kofor come up here to the front. We're going to pray over him. And we're going to anoint him with oil. And so they did that. And I can tell you today, I felt something. I'm not trying to be mystic today. I'm just telling you what God can do. And I want you to know that it was something that just amazed me and startled me at first. But at any rate, they did. They did this. They prayed. And you know, it took about 2 weeks. That was the longest 2 weeks to get those results back. And I'll tell you, one day, I called up the nurse that was assisting Dr. Atani. And I said, Heidi, I'm going out of my mind. I said, I can't even work here in the pharmacy. I've got to know. If you got those results back. And she said, well, just wait just a second. Let me go look. And so she was gone. Oh, that was the longest 3 or 4 minutes. But she got back and she said, well, I just read the results that Dr. Atani received. And I said, okay, what is it, Heidi? And said, there's nothing there except for some scar tissue from where you had a bad infection. But I think God healed it. I think God intervened. And you know, I think God does intervene. And I'm not saying this today to put myself on a pedestal or anything, but sometimes we think that God is just regulated and just here over here, just for this alone, and we'll take care of the rest of it over here. No, He's involved in everything of our lives today. And I want you to know that's why that He's our high priest. That's why He's our intercessor. He's our mediator today. I told her, I said, Heidi, goodness gracious, I want to tell you that is good news. I'll officiate your wedding free of charge. And she laughed and she said, well, that's nice, but she said, you're a little late on that. But but she said, I am curious to meet you. But I told her and talked to her, and I said, people prayed over me. And I'm convinced that's what brought me down to this present moment of time. Not that I'm special. There's nothing good about me whatsoever. But we pray for healing. We pray for God to heal us according to His will. And you know, I believe God does. We pray for God to guide us. I'll tell you something today. We come before the throne of grace, before the mediator. And brother, if there ever was a time, we need to do it. Just almost continue it. It's in this day and time. And if you don't believe that we're living in the last days, then you need to get your eyes open. And you need to see the darkness and see the vortex already that is forming to pull men, women, boys, and girls down into hell. And I want you to know Satan will pull out all stops that he can. But my friend, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world today. He comforts us whenever that we're lonely, when we're going through tragedies, whenever that we're going through problems in our life. You know, I found even when I was in school, I'd pray about school. And I thought, you know, well, I can do this. And one day I was taught a lesson that you cannot do anything without me. And I learned that. And I want you to know He has said it Himself, without me you can do nothing. And I want you to know there's no better one to have on your side, to have in your comfort and in your keeping, than to have the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also ask not only for those things for ourselves, but we pray for others today. And you know, some of the most blessed times in coming before God's throne of grace, before Christ Jesus, has been whenever that I pray for somebody else. Have you ever had God just bring somebody across your mind and you wonder why? You know, that you're thinking about them, you know, and you're wondering, why did God put that individual upon your mind? I don't know your heart. I know mine. When I find that somebody is upon my mind, upon my heart, I get away somewhere and I pray for them. Lord, I don't know what's going on with them. I don't know what they're going through. But You knew. You know. And I pray, dear Lord, today that whatever they're going through, whatever they're experiencing, whether it's somebody that's lost, or I don't know where they stand with You, or they've got sickness, or they're lonely, or they're by themselves, you know, or they're going through some great tragedy, or they're experiencing whatever, abuse, or whatever that it is, Lord, I pray in Your precious Son's name that You will take charge of that and that You will bring them through whatever that they're going through. And I'm not seeing my prayers answered. I put that into the hands of God. I've gone as far as I can as I put my hands out before the throne of grace. But it's in God's hands. It's all in God's hands. Pray unto Him to save others. I want to tell you something today. As evil as some of these nations are, some of these individuals that are dictators in them, or whatever that we think about our government or whatever, I, with all of my heart, would not want to see if they are lost and separated from God. I would not ever pray that God would send them to hell. I wouldn't. And I've not had it opened up unto me what it's like, but what it says over in Luke chapter 16 and 17, There's a rich man there. His testimony tells us just a little bit of what it's like. It's a place of darkness. It's a place where that Jesus said, on one place, the worm dieth not. That is, one thing people will carry over into hell with them is their memory of how many times they sat under the gospel and they did nothing about it whatsoever. They just counted it as a thing not to involve them. And unfortunately, they got their wish. But at any rate, we pray for those that are lost, whether they are enemies or whether that they're friends or neighbors or whatever. We pray that if they're lost, that somewhere God will save their souls and fill their heart with the Holy Spirit and their soul with the Holy Spirit today. We also pray for their sickness, and we pray for their problems, and we pray for their heartaches and everything. You know, Jesus experienced just about everything that we have experienced, yet without sin. He experienced temptation. He saw the sick. You know, there's probably no way we'll understand or ever see the numbers that were by the roadside at the pool of Siloam that were sick, that were infirm, lepers that had no hope. In that day and in that time, it was a slow, agonizing death. That's why that leprosy back then was compared to sin. It slowly eats away until there's no hope whatsoever. He saw that. And you know what? He had compassion upon them. I sometimes, whenever that, and when we first moved into our house, I would get out and groom the lawn, and oh man, if a dandelion came up, I was really incensed. You know, even though God made the dandelion, I didn't want it growing on my lawn. And I mean, I'd get so upset, I'd get out there with a spade, I'd be on my, you know, I was just really going at it. There was a residential home close by. And those little children, they would take them out and push them in almost like a baby carriage. And some of them didn't even know where they were at. Some of them, my friend, were deformed. Some of them were just helpless if somebody didn't intervene for them. And here would come a caretaker pushing them. And whenever that I was just about on the edge of cursing the dandelion, here they would come. And I would bow my head before Almighty God and I would say, Lord, forgive me. Perhaps, Lord, you love that dandelion. And here I am mad at it. And here is a little child. I always called them the angel with a message, because every time that I would get on a high horse about something, here would come somebody in a wheelchair. It was like clockwork. It was like God sent them. And oh, my lands, I want to tell you something. You talk about, for me, it was very humbling. And I had to come before God and not just apologize, but repent because of my attitude today. And I finally come to the place that, Lord, if you want to fill the yard with dandelions, that's just up to you. You know, I'll water them for you, even if you want. But I want to tell you something today, my friend. We're to pray for those that are in trouble like that. And my friend, we're to put our priorities where that they need to be. God will take care of the dandelions. We're to take care of what God has saved us and called us to do. And we have a mediator, an intercessor, and a high priest that we can come before today. And I am so, so very thankful for that. We're to pray for those today that may have hurt us. You know, it took me years after I got out of high school to get to the place to where that I forgave people for even what happened in high school. I guess this is confession time for me. I always, when I left and I was in school, and by golly, I'm going to go back to the first reunion. I'm going to have a Rolls Royce, and I'm just really show them. And you know, he didn't give me a Rolls Royce. He gave me a GMC. He gave me a beautiful wife, whom I don't deserve. But I want you to know, my friend, over time, God helped me to forgive those things that happened there and even in other places and other venues today, even to the place to where that I would pray for them. Yeah, that guy that smashed my face with mashed potatoes in the cafeteria, Lord, wherever he's at, you know, take care of him. And sad to say, some of it I was even in on. Forgive me, Lord. But I want you to know that he gives us the grace to ask for help even from our enemies. I want to leave one story with you and I'll close. My mother read incessantly when I was growing up. She would get a book and she would read it and she would leave it around. She knew that I would read it. She got a hold of a book. I don't know where she got it from, but it was written by a young man by the name of Sergei Kordakov. He was Russian. He was in his 20s. And he had been an orphan. And he was really good in technology and math and so on and so forth. And he joined the Soviet Army or the Soviet Navy and was on a lot of their big cruisers and subs and so on and so forth. Anyway, he was given the opportunity to earn a few extra rubles, I guess you would say. And he said that the commander told him, said, Kordakov, we're going to put you in charge of a squad that is to protect the Soviet Union. And he said, okay. He said, what is it, thieves, robbers? No, it's the worst kind. Kordakov, these are the worst kind of enemies of our republic. He said, these are those that still believe in God, that meet secretly. And we want you to lead an attack squad. We want you to lead this garrison. And you go and you break it up. You give them something to remember you with, so they'll never meet like this again. Brother, I'm so thankful for our freedoms, that we can do what we're doing today. Anyway, so he was the head of this. They get a phone call. There's a group of believers that are meeting over here at this place. Go get them. So he would. He said, some of them, I know that I fractured their skull. He said that he was a black belt in karate. And he said, I would practice karate punches upon them and everything. He said, there was one occasion, he said, where that we were leading an attack. And he said, I was beating this elderly woman with everything that was within me, with a club. She must have been in her 70s or whatever. And I was just laying out. He said, I was determined I was going to crack her skull open. And he said, I heard her saying something, and I listened, and she wasn't asking for me to stop. She was praying for me. She was praying that God would open the heart of this young man and that Christ would save his soul. He said, I became so angry. He said, I was going to come down on her with both hands. He said, I lifted it up. And he said, I thought somebody had walked up behind me and grabbed my hand. And he said, I turned around and no one was there. He said, I knew at that moment I had to find this God that she was talking about. Brother, when we pray for our enemies, we may not escape whatever will come upon us. But later on, that young man jumped ship outside of Canada, swam to shore, and went into a church. And he was there for days praying, God, God, if you're there, if you're really God, please do something for me. He said, make yourself known to me. And he said, I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And he said, one day I was praying there during those 4 days. And he said, there was a peace that came over my heart. unlike anything that I'd ever experienced. I want to tell you something today. You pray for people like that. You pray for your enemies, whoever is hurt, whatever the case might be. I want to tell you, you may not get the revenge satisfaction you're looking for. But I want to tell you something today. You may save a soul from hell. Amen?
Amen.
I want you to know you may save somebody that needs the Lord. And I'll tell you something today, and I'm finally going to close here. You may save somebody, and my friend, you may make a difference in their life. And that's what God has left us in the world for. We're to intercede in prayer. We're to pray unto God to have mercy upon them. You know, we're talking about revival. Now's the time to pray for revival. Now's the time to pray for the lost. And I want to tell you something today. If you're here today and you don't know this Lord that I'm speaking about today, you know, it's one thing to know about Him, but it's another thing to know Him. If you're here today, we would invite you to come and we'll pray with you. We can't save you, but we'll point you to the cross. Today, my brothers and sisters, I'm so thankful to be here. I'm so thankful that we have a mediator, an intercessor, that we have one that is an advocate for us. And when we pray, we come before Him. And you know, the sweetest blessing is whenever that we pray for somebody else, we've done what God wants us to do. And there is a peace within us that, nah, Lord, I may not get what I want, but Lord, please have mercy upon that person. So as we have a song, as we have a hymn, oh, by the way, I'm going to keep this up here to remind me of who paid the price. And I hope if you haven't seen it, you'll come by and look. This was the size of the nail approximately that went into the Savior's feet for us. As we have this hymn, as we have this song, if you're here, you're unsaved, we invite you to come to this altar. We'll pray with you. But it comes down to this. You need a mediator. You need an intercessor. You need someone to stand in the gap for you.